Well, the Dirty Three, Grinder Man and Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds all have one creative link, Australian musician Warren Ellis. In the past year, Warren Ellis has released two top 10 albums, one with Nick Cave and the other with Marianne Faithfull. But that's not all that's been keeping him busy. He's also decided to build an animal sanctuary in Indonesia. He joins us now from London. Warren Ellis, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Fran. It's lovely to be here.
You've been making a lot of music and now you're doing your bit to make a lot of animals safe. You're helping build a park to house animals at risk. Tell us about this wildlife sanctuary, can you, and how you got involved?
I think it started last year, actually, when everything shut down, and I noticed this incredible community spirit that sprung up around, like, the Bad Seeds. People rallied to kind of raise money for our crew and we all pitched in, and I was really inspired by this sense of community. And then I was asked to put my face on a beard balm product by a friend of mine, Lorinda Jane, who has this palm oil initiative. And I did that and all the money went to orangutans. And then I said to her, I'd really like to do something like substantial if I could. And she introduced me to Femke. And after literally 20 seconds, I just wanted to try and do something to help out the situation.
Yeah, Femke and her team run the Sumatra Wildlife Centre.
That's correct, yes.
They rescue animals. And
basically, they rescue animals. Animals who are left in zoos that are starving, animals who have been left chained up, animals who are in circuses, animals who have been mistreated, animals in trafficking and things like that. And they have a centre where they treat them, but some are so badly abused that they can't go back into the nature. There's a monkey who's been beaten up and has brain damage, and another one who's lost her arms, and the bears who have their teeth pulled, and there's all these animals, and there's been a real need for a place that these animals can be sent to. So Femke explained this to me, and that there was some land next to their place. And this idea of building a forever home for these animals who I don't really know whatever happens to them. So we kind of come up with this idea to build a place. It's kind of like Noah's Ark for the unwanted animals.
Like Noah's Ark for the unwanted animals. I love that.
Yeah, we're building this beautiful Noah's Ark that's this kind of incredible, like, communal idea. And once it was thrown out there, I've just been absolutely kind of floored by the love and generosity of people that have come in. You know, we've just had, you know, in the last week raised 20,000 euros. We have a target of 65 to build the place, and it will be self-propelling. The reaction has been just so beautiful. And, you know, I really thank everybody that's kind of pitched in already. We're building the fence literally, like, starting this weekend. Femke's at the hardware store getting it. We're building a school, an education centre. We're building shelters. We're built for the animals. We're going to build beautiful places that they can live forever in. We're building also a medical centre to treat them. And animals will be coming in from all over Indonesia to be housed there.
It's a really, the notion of Noah's Ark is interesting, and the mix of animals, those who are injured, those who are, you know, have been in zoos, but also those who have been smuggled. It's a really wide range of animals. Your part
It's actually quite unusual too to have, such a variety of animals. Usually they're specifically targeted at a certain animal, and this is like dogs, this is birds, this will be anything that can't. Their aim is to get things back into nature where they've been taken. An animal only has its life. That's all it's born with, and we sadly take it away from it.
No, I was just going to say, so the contribution you've made initially is to get the land, and it's going to be called Ellis Park.
Yes, basically I was able to get the land, and then we realised that usually funding for this takes a long time, and Lorinda Jane and I decided to found a charity, and then to set the wheels in motion. And you know, I just thought, why wouldn't I do this? I've had a really incredibly blessed creative life. I've been able to do things that I never dreamed of. And I'm in a position where maybe I have a kind of a reach with different people that will be inspired to kind of watch this thing grow. I see it really as a communal idea, this, that you can watch this thing grow from the ground up.
Okay. If people want to get involved, how do they do that?
Just go on alicepark.org. You can get involved by watching, by you know, seeing what happens. You can go on and sponsor an animal. We have Reno, a monkey with no arms. We have a bunch of bears with no teeth. We have Baron, this amazing little guy who's been beaten up, and we have two genetically bred albino monkeys that just can't be put back into the nature because they wouldn't survive. You can go on and sponsor them. You can buy the workers. Everybody's a volunteer there, so you can buy them a drink if you want. Yeah, everybody's a volunteer there.
All right, I'm sure. We're getting a lot of response to this as we speak because a lot of people are fans of your music and now they're fans of this too. Can I ask you about your music? Because you've been pretty busy this year. You've done a project with Nick Cave, but you've also done a project with Marianne Faithfull called She Walks in Beauty.
Well, actually, Nick's a patron of the zoo and Flea. We have a bunch of people who have become patrons of the zoo as well because there's this incredible – it's really – and Mullamister – and more people coming on board who want to see this project realised and shine a light on the work that these people are doing over there. That's just truly extraordinary.
Okay. Just back to the project with Marianne Faithfull. She got very ill. She contracted COVID, I think.
Yeah, she did. She spent 2 weeks in a coma and we thought like it was the end of her and she'd sent me a bunch of poems that she'd read basically in her bedroom because she was already very ill, and then a bunch of romantic poems. And I was sent them during the initial lockdown, and as the world just ground to a halt and I looked out the window, I just sort of shut everything down and listened to the wonder of these poems. And it was a real like a medicine, you know, like I found it really meditative and useful for the times that was going on because it was just all so unknown.
I'd like to play people a little bit of it now just so they get a sense of that. Just hear a little bit of this, the title track, She Walks in Beauty.
She walks in beauty like the night of cloudless climes and starry skies, and all that's best of dark and bright meet in her aspect and her eyes, thus mellowed to that tender light which heaven to gaudy day denies. One shade the more, one ray the less, had half impaired the nameless grace which waves in every raven tress or softly lightens o'er her face, where thoughts serenely sweet express.
She walks in beauty. Poem from Byron. It's a little different, I would say, in tone and type from the work with the Bad Seeds.
Oh, I don't know. My God, that's brought a tear to my eye. She can read a telephone book and make it sound awesome. What a voice.
Indeed.
I haven't heard that for so long. I don't really know if it's that different. I guess I don't really know what I do in music. I do scores. I work with Nick in the Bad Seas, right? You know, Dirty Three. I just kind of keep hopefully moving forward. And while people want me to do stuff, I'm just kind of happy and honoured to jump on board.
And you're doing a lot of things. I'd just like to mention the book you've got coming out too. It's called Nina Simone's Gum, which is a strange name, inspired by a collector's item in Nick Cave. Just tell us a bit about
that. No, actually, it's a piece of gum. It's a piece of gum that I took from Nina Simone's piano in 1999. Yeah,
so you've got a piece of chewing gum and you've held on to it for this long.
Well, I saw this concert that changed my life, and Nina Simone was such a genius, you know, and I saw this concert that changed my life, and I took her chewing gum, and I've kept it as this sort of holy relic and kept it like as my spiritual guide in her towel for 20 years. And then Nick was doing an exhibition in Denmark and asked if I wanted to put something in, and I said, "Do you want my gum?" So that kicked off this chain of events, and I had the gum cast in gold and silver, and it's now on a pedestal with two burglar alarm systems, 24-hour surveillance on a pedestal where it should be. It's a true holy relic.
And what other things are featured in this book of yours then?
Well, it's sort of fragments. It's not really a memoir. It's fragments of thought and why actually, I guess, why I care about music. But it's very similar to this park. It's about love and care, and that ideas need love and care. No matter the smaller the idea, the more care that it needs to carry it. And eventually I'm going to go to Alice Park and I'm going to put a big sculpture of the chewing gum there for the monkeys and bears to play on.
Well, I think you're going to bring a lot of love and care as well. Warren Ellis, thank you very much for what you're doing with the wildlife.
Thanks for joining us.
Warren Ellis, building Warren Ellis Park. You can donate if you want. If you head to www.ellispark.org and sponsors, you'll see where you can donate if you want to help with the protection of the wildlife.